God gave you the Shout It Out Loudcast with Tom and Zeus, the ultimate KISS podcast. This is Jay Scott from The Hook Rocks. I know I'll be listening. I hope you do too.
That's right. We're back with another episode of Dorm Damage, the show where anything and everything is on the table and the table gets smashed. This week, our favorite guitarists.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Rock and roll guitarists, not flamenco guitarists.
What are you talking about? I got Brian Setzer, number one. What are you talking about?
I got Paul Stanley's twin, Tiny Tim, on the ukulele, number two.
Ooh, the Purple Pie Man. We'll get into that. Oh, yuck. Anyways, this is not a KISS episode, right? So no KISS guitarists in this episode, right?
Yeah, we thought we'd make it more fun if we didn't put a KISS guitarist in, you know?
Plus, I don't think either one of us wanted to hear from the ace cult. How do you not have ace number one? Oh, he's the best. He's so sloppy.
He's also good looking. I should be number one. I'm the only rock star on here.
Number one in your heart. Yeah, so this is going to be good because if you've listened to our ARC, obviously, you know, the Shout Out Loudcast episodes and some Dorm Damage episodes, Zeus and I have a lot in common, but we also have some very different things. So I pulled my list from a variety of different kinds of like rock and metal, but I think there might be some overlap here.
Yeah, I like to think that I stretched it out. If something was similar, I would pick somebody that maybe people a little bit off the radar, so other people would give some recognition to somebody that may not be the best or favorite of other people, just to have a fun discussion, you know?
Yep.
So
I hear you.
I'll start this one off, Tom. Number 10 for me, I would say, is very common. We all know him. I think he's very underrated, but these first four albums by this band, I just love the fucking guitar. And it's nothing that makes you like, oh my God, how did he do it?
Yeah.
Nothing like that, but it's just fun rock and roll, hard rock guitar. And that is Bon Jovi's Richie Sambora.
All right, nice.
So okay. I find his guitar so much fun, especially the debut, the 7800 Fahrenheit, and then obviously you get to the other two that come up with Slippery and Wet and New Jersey. Now, he obviously played on more albums than that, but those four are the pinnacle of Bon Jovi and the ones that we're all more familiar with. I just find his guitar is great. I think his solos are on point. They've got a lot. It's a lot of melodic, hard rock guitar solos. Got that fucking touch and feel. Perfect right back. And it's just good song structure. They make good music. Fucking hard rock guitar. Love it.
Plus, he's a handsome man.
Before he got all smashed up with alcoholism.
It happens to the best of us. I mean, I'm drinking a beer right now. What the hell? It's okay.
And there's a little KISS connection there because we obviously know that he tried out for KISS for a little bit.
They were like, no, you're too good. You can't be KISS.
Yeah, you've got that boy's got talent. Yeah, and so I'm going with Richie Sambora as my first on the list.
All right, my number 10, and let's just preface this by my list, other than my number one, my list is kind of not really in order, but for the sake of discussion, yeah. So my number 10, Zeus, is one of your favorites.
Ooh.
Oh, you love this guy. You love this guy. He can do it all. He can do it all. he can go up and down the fretboard. He can do the tapping. He can do the solos. He can do the riffs. We've seen it. We've done him on ARC. You love him. It's Yngwie.
Oh.
That's the joke. You hate Yngwie.
I do not hate Yngwie at all. Dude, I had those albums before you had those albums.
Oh, okay. Now it's one of the... Oh, no,
I discovered him.
Okay, so you're in the Yngwie cult. Okay.
No, I had Trilogy a long time before I met you in college. I had all those albums. I love it. Guy's an amazing guitar player. All fucking kudos to his talents. I will bow down to his talents.
Yeah, he's a different kind of... He's like... our list will be, he's not Richie Sambora. The stuff that he does, it's like, okay, this is what I want to hear now. And there are times where I absolutely love everything he does. And other times I'm like, I can't listen to it right now. But that being, I'm not going to deny the guy's fucking brilliant. He's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But that's part of his brilliance. I love it.
Well, when he sets up his concerts and the guitar and Marshalls are in the front and everybody's on the left.
That is the most boss move ever. Like, he's not even trying to pretend who's in charge. I love it.
This is my band.
I love it.
Oh, all right. Number nine, Tom, I'm going to go off the board here.
Okay.
And number nine for me is a guy named Don Rich. Dangerous, okay. Don Rich. So Don Rich was Buck Owens's right-hand man. So he was the musical director of basically the Buck Owens band and also Hee Haw. So which, you know.
Hee Haw, Sam, how are you?
Yeah, exactly. See? So Buck created him and Buck Owens and Don Rich basically created what's called the Bakersfield sound, which is very famous and all that. His guitar picking is so different and fucking catchy as hell. He started off kind of being the fiddle man. And then Buck was like, hey, you know what? Why don't you be my lead guitar man? I'll show you a couple things. Buck Owens showed him the way he was playing his style. And then Don Rich took it to a fucking whole new other level. His guitar picking is off the charts. It's fan fucking tastic. He does solos, all the shit. If you ever watch some of those old Hee Haw stuff, any of the songs, the man was brilliant musician. And the sad thing is he died, I think it was like 32, 34 in a motorcycle crash. What he used to do, he used to literally actually do all the harmonies with Buck Owens. So all those songs, Act Naturally, like the Beatles would cover and things like that. He did all that guitar picking and all that. And that sound is so unique. And I love it. And the coolest thing about him, if you see those videos, when he had the Buck Owens show and stuff, he has this gold Telecaster. That fucking Telecaster was
a nice guitar.
Yep. Oh my God. So cool. And you know, Buck Owens with this Lego hairdo would be in the front singing. And then he would come in, pick away, and then jump in on the harmonies with them. And then sadly, when he died, Buck Owens' career was just like,
mm-hmm.
But the guy was an amazing fiddle player, amazing songwriter. He sang songs on his own. There's a bunch of good albums out there of his. And anytime you want to listen to any of the fucking classic Buck Owens music, you can pick out all that shit that's Don Rich. And my other favorite thing that he does is that when he was on the Hee Haw, he had this song, okay, that they actually changed it. Who's Gonna Mow Your Grass? It's a country song, and he put fuzz on it. And they're like, no, what the fuck is that? You don't put that shit on country music. It was just so ahead of his time. He was so good. And it just, listen to that song. It's a fantastic fucking song. Act Naturally, people know Street of Bakersfield. I've Got a Tiger by the Tail. Just so many great classic Buck Owens song. And you want to hear a different style of guitar picking and guitar playing and that country guitar picking? Hee-haw!
Nice.
Dangerous Don Rich.
Nice. All right.
A little different.
Yeah, I like it. That's awesome. All right. So my number nine is one that we both know. We're both big fans of. And you know, it's funny. I wanted to bring some attention to this era because when you talk about rock guitarists, a lot of people tend to focus on the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s tend to kind of fall by the wayside in terms of musicianship and things. They always talk about the image and the sound, you know, grunge, what alternative.
The image and the sound that you used to.
Exactly. I am going with Mike McCready from Pearl Jam.
He was
love
right
this guy.
There on my list.
Love this guy. Ace Frehley fan. Can do so many things. I still stand by the fact that the outro solo of Alive is one of the all-time great guitar solos in history. It is absolutely beyond.
That was in my head just now as you said that.
Yeah, it's insane beyond belief. But the guy can do those catchy riffs. He can do the melodic solos. He can rip when he needs to. Multi-talented and a throwback to like those 70s guitarists. I love the guy.
Yeah, even Black, I mean, Rearview Mirror. You can go down the list. His guitar is fucking awesome.
It's incredible.
And the way like early Pearl Jam was, it was like good classic rock band.
Exactly.
Guitar playing.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So number eight for me, Tom, is a different era, different type of music, just a decade earlier. And that is Rat's Warren DeMartini.
Nice.
Love that guitar. I mean, those early Rat albums, all the way through Detonator for me, it's just fantastic guitar. The licks, he has that style that a lot of those guys that I like from that era could do. And that is have that sleazy guitar lick.
Yep.
Awesome fills. And they have that touch of holding those notes in a guitar solo and just giving you that bump, like that makes you want to jump in and be like, dude, I wish I was doing that solo. And you're doing the air guitar because you love it. And it's not just headbanging thrash. It's with feeling. It's with touch. All his solos fucking made me feel that way. And then boom, right back into the fucking funky, crazy ass riff that he has. I think Warren DeMartini is very underrated. I think the problem is he looks and they're kind of almost similar, like George Lynch a little, except he's fucking like not as jacked up as George Lynch.
Right.
Steroids. Right. But very similar type player. Love his style. And when I think of Rat, I think of Stephen Pearcy's sleazy vocals and those fucking dual guitar attack and Warren's licks. Guitar fill.
Absolutely. Nice. All right. My number eight, I'm going to go with one a little bit different. You might not know how big of a fan I am of this band because I don't really talk about them. Maybe future ARC. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm a huge fan of Southern rock. Love Lynyrd Skynyrd. Love the Allman Brothers. Love those kinds of things. I went back and forth on a couple of the Southern rock guys here to make this list, but I'm going to go with the obvious one. I'm going with Duane Allman.
Okay.
I love both of those bands. I go back and forth on Lynyrd Skynyrd is a little bit more of a kind of like a dirty kind of Southern rock band. Allman Brothers, a little bit more soulful at times, but they both can do those things. I love them both. They both bring different things, but two of my all time favorite bands, you got to kind of, sometimes I'm in the mood for them because some of their music is a little bit moody at times, but Duane Allman, if you're talking about that slide guitar, that Southern rock, that lead stuff that he can do. Go back and listen to those early. I mean, God rest his soul. The guy passed away friggin' so young. But go back and even listen to that debut Allman Brothers album. Just fantastic stuff. Love those bands. Love the Allman Brothers. He's
a slide guitar player.
Yep.
Probably none better than him ever.
Yep.
I fucking love the slide guitar.
It's more so
than
good.
Anything. It's so fucking cool. Like Travis Tritt sang in the 80s, damn, I miss Duane Allman. I wish he was still around.
Imagine.
Fucking terrible lyrics.
But it's,
he put some drive in his country.
Yep.
That's how the song goes.
Yep.
Fucking, but regardless, Duane Allman, great. Like, people just legendary. Yeah. Legendary.
Totally. Yep.
Yeah. Tom, so for me, I'm going to go a little bit different here. I'm going to go back to kind of the era you had earlier picked, and I'm going with Jerry Cantrell.
Nice.
So that fucking, never mind the fact that he could sing, keep harmonies, co-lead, lead, and fucking do the guitar. as like the only guitarist in the band. It's just insane. He's so multi-talented. Alice in Chains for me is so, can be melodic. Just listen to the guitar on the softness of his new album that he just released, Brighton, and then go back to Jar of Flies,
that album,
or Sap, something you're like, wow, some guy, this guy can fucking do acoustic songs as good as anybody. But then in addition to that, he could fucking kill you with Man in the Box.
Them Bones.
Oh,
like something like that, you know, like
Them Bones, grind off of the fucking din, 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 din.
It's it's
fucking as heavy as you'll fucking ever hear. What's the other one?
You're making my point here about kind of why I included Mike McCready, because these 90s bands, everybody always talks about Layne Staley, Kurt Cobain, Eddie Vedder, Chris Cornell. Everybody loses sight of like the musicians that are in those bands. Like that was like such an era of like front men. And I get it. They were charismatic, but Jerry Cantrell is Alice in Chains. And he still is. I've said it before. Those new albums with William Duvall, those are Jerry Cantrell albums, and they're fucking incredible.
Yeah. See, I think AIC can survive without Jerry Cantrell, without Layne Staley. They can't survive without Jerry Cantrell.
That's exactly true. They cannot.
Completely different. Now,
can't do it.
That's not saying Layne Staley can't be a great singer and find some good songs, because
it's Jerry's band.
Mad Season is great.
Yeah.
Mad Season is no Alice in Chains, though.
Nope.
And they have Mike McCready in that band.
That's right.
He's a fucking incredible guitarist as it is. See, number nine for you. But go listen to people that are like, oh, Alice in Chains. Go listen, What the Hell Have I? You can find that on the box set. It was it's on the soundtrack for Last Action Hero. That fucking riff is so awesome.
Go and listen to not only Brighton, which is one of the greatest albums I've ever heard in my life, but go back and listen to his other Degradation Trip, Boggy Depot, he is a fucking genius. And everybody's like, oh, Alice in Chains, they're a grunge band. No, no.
Jerry Cantrell is a fucking incredible guitar player.
Yep.
So that's my number seven.
All right, number seven for me, another ARC representative here. We just talked about him recently. That is the great and unique Tom Morello.
Okay.
I love this guy. He can do it all. He's known for doing the crazy sound effects and the weird things that he does, the distortion stuff that he's playing that isn't even a friggin' pick or his finger. He'll take like his friggin' unplug his guitar cord and rub it up against the fretboard or whatever. But when the guy needs to come up with a riff, go listen to a song like Freedom or Bomb Track or whatever, and he can blow your brains out with a riff. So the guy can do it all. Love him.
Yeah, I like people with their own style.
Exactly.
So regardless of the fact that I haven't really heard all of his material, if you play something, I usually can pick out, oh, that's got to be Audio Slave, or that's fucking just the music, I'm saying.
Yep.
Rage. That tone, that fucking sharpness of it, the uniqueness of the sounds that come from his guitar. Yeah, I usually can pick that out.
Yep.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of scary guys, skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month, so just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
All right. Number six for me, I'm going with somebody that, you know, we're all familiar with, and that is Slash. And again, this is not in order, but another one. I can listen to that middle breakdown of Sweet Child of Mine into that solo. Fuck it, and never get tired of it. Never get tired of it. That solo is probably one of, if not my favorite solos of all time. I put it in my head as though someone's going fishing, reeling the line. He's reeling it. It's going. He's reeling it. He's trying to hold on to it. And he's just fighting the rod. And that's what he's doing with the guitar. And he's just fighting there. But he still fucking hits that note. Like, it's almost like he can't. And he gets it. It's amazing. And I mean, all his shit is amazing. Even his solo stuff that he does, the guitar on it's still fan-fucking-tastic.
Oh, yeah.
Locomotive off of Use Your Illusion 2. Insane. Like, his solos, just that little thing that he does on a string, I can't even do it. Like, whatever he does. And that's just all touch. It's not a fucking crazy-ass riff, although he can do those. It's just all touch and just all feel. That's the shit that really gets me. And I think Slash is unreal.
And his solo material with Miles Kennedy and Todd Kearns, our buddy Todd Kearns in there in that band, like, incredible stuff. Like, Slash is just, yeah, we may hear from him later in the episode. Number six for me, you already named him, but it's Jerry Cantrell. Got to have him on my list. So that's nice. My number six. Yep.
Number five for me. I mention him all the time. We did another ARC guy, and that's Don Felder.
Nice.
So that's the Eagles, Don Felder. I think he's slightly better than Joe Walsh. We all know the fucking solo from Hotel California is just incredible. To me, the other two hidden gems is just the difference. Go listen to On the Border by the Eagles. He came on because Bernie Ledden was like, oh, I got a buddy. And you know, Glenn Frey kept saying, like, we need to make this more rockers. We keep doing this country rock. We need more rock. And Glenn Johns, the producer's like, you guys aren't a rock band. The Who's a rock band, not you. And he's like, well, fuck you. And they got all big Bill Simzak, and they went to L.A. and recorded the rest. And then fucking Ledden's like, you know what? Let me bring my friend over here, Don Felder. He can play. He played on two tracks. You listen to that fucking album. The whole album is so underrated. It's great, right? But then you listen to the two tracks, you're like, oh shit, there's something different about these two songs. And that is the lead track, Already Gone. And then the solo, that's all him. And if you watch any of the old 70s videos of that solo, he is just, I mean, it's just fucking rocking out that cool ass Gibson guitar solo he's doing on there. And then the other one, Good Day in Hell, our buddy, I Love It Louder, knows what I'm talking about. Loves that. Between me, him, and Murph, the same thing. Every once in a while, we'll throw on, who's listening to Good Day in Hell? And that's all him. And that's,
save that for the Eagles Chronicles spinoff podcast.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, I've thought about it.
I know you have.
And that is all tip to the hat of your number eight, Dwayne Allman. If you listen to Good Day in Hell, it's all fucking slide. Okay. Even the long run, the song, the fact that when he partners up with Joe Walsh, the two of them, I don't know if there was any like fucking duo that's better than those two. And they can harmonize their guitars as good, and with slide and with talk box. Holy shit. I mean, nice. There's so many things on those Eagle albums that I listen to that I fucking find all the time. Teenage Jail, there's a fucking synth solo and into his solo and the outro, off the charts for me. Yeah, I would say Don Felder is fucking incredible for me.
Nice. Excellent. All right. My number five is interesting, because when you think of this band, you think of,
when you think of Akeem,
when you think of garbage, think of Akeem.
Yeah, that's it.
Most people aren't naming this guitarist for this band. Although, I mean, if you're a fan of the band, you know who he is. And arguably one of the greatest in the last 30, 40 years in terms of rock and metal rhythm players. So he's not known for his leads, because Kirk Hammett does all that. I'm talking about James Hetfield, arguably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, rhythm guitar players of the last 30, 40 plus years. This guy is incredible. And if you've seen him live, watching him do it is even more insane. You go listen to a song like Master of Puppets, or you listen to a song like Blackened. Yes, Kirk Hammett steals the show with the solos, which he deserves all the accolades. He fucking burns the place down with the solos. But the rhythms that James Hetfield is doing is fucking insane beyond belief. The controls that he has with his hands and his wrist when he's doing those things, when you listen to him, like, how the fuck is that one hand doing all that? He's tremendously underrated, and nobody does it better.
All right. So there's a couple things with that. I find the same thing may be true of our friend, the Crooked Man Paul, because his rhythm playing and
very underrated.
The riffs that he comes up with to make those songs that we all love.
Yeah, I agree. Underrated.
And he can play them and sing.
Yep.
So, again, I'm not familiar with the Metallica, songs as like you.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be able to be like, oh, that's James. Oh, that's Kirk Hammett going nuts.
Right.
All of it is insane that you can play that. And then throw in that you can sing and do that at the same time.
Yep.
That's all fucking insane. And so the easier part would be the guy that comes in and was like, okay, over this, I'm just going to come in and freestyle whatever you over that. Right. I think that's easier than do what that guy's doing and sing.
Yeah.
Right.
It's true. No, so, you're right though. I mean, we're not talking about Kiss guitarists, but Paul is incredibly underrated as a rhythm guitar player.
Yeah. And I find that to be a skill that
totally
is not sometimes given credit. Like the same thing, like you could say is all those rhythm guitars, like the two guitar attack Judas Priest has, Iron Maiden, those two guys fucking one trading off the other. And Rat had a two guitar head attack. The Eagles, Leonard Skinner with their fucking 18 guitarists in the band. It's fucking insane.
Yep.
And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes egos getting the best, but can you make a good song from it?
Right.
Not 15 fucking guitarists going nuts and this and that. And Metallica found a formula that works for them. So, I completely understand James Hetfield.
Yep.
So number four for me, I'm going to go with a guy that I didn't say anything. I bit my tongue when you picked him first, Yngwie. My guy is the guy that he's a dime store of, in my opinion, and that's Ritchie Blackmore. I fucking love Ritchie Blackmore. So here's what I'll say about Yngwie. Yes, he can probably do that. Maybe he can do even more. Ritchie did it first.
Ritchie Blackmore's better than Yngwie.
But in addition to that, Richie can do better songs.
Totally. Oh, it's not even a contest.
So, like, even what we did Down to Earth for ARC.
Yeah.
Like, a song like Since You've Been Gone, you don't even notice. You look at a video of Ritchie Blackmore, you're like, is this guy asleep over here? He's just...
Dude, he's the Eric Singer of guitar players.
Yeah. He looks like he couldn't be bothered. Film the other guys, mate. I don't give a fuck.
One of the funniest videos in the world. Besides Joe Lynn Turner, who we love. is the Stone Cold video. Richie Blackmore looks like somebody woke him up and he threw the guitar over his shoulder.
You can say that about any Rainbow video.
He's seen the least
in all the videos. And every time he's like mumbling to himself, like, I fucking hate being in this video. I'm just bopping his head. He's got that pilgrim hat on. And the worst is, go watch, like, since you've been gone. And then they show a close-up at the end, the outro. And his solo is like, no, I'll just do this at the end of the song. And you're like, what the fuck is he doing?
He's insane. Yeah, he's awesome.
Everyone's too busy talking about that fucking, my buddy Graham Bonnet looks like Ace Ventura or Jim Brewer. The comments on Since You've Been Gone are fucking
hilarious. That video is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like, honestly, 98% of the people going, I didn't know Jim Carrey could rock. Jim Carrey or fucking Jim Brewer. And then everyone else is like, damn, I love this song. But who the fuck put Jim fucking Carrey in this band?
Well, then he's got like the fucking Reno 911 like sunglasses, like he's some from Chips or something. It's fucking
Jim Brewer. But yeah, I love Richie Blackmore. I can't finish without saying, is it the most famous riff of all time?
Probably. It's become a cliche.
Because the song isn't that good. But I mean, it's great, but it's not like Stairway to Heaven. But that riff, everybody knows that riff for a song that nobody would be like, oh, name the top 100 songs in rock and roll. No one's saying Smoke on it, but they'll say it for the riff.
I'll tell you, dude, Richie Blackmore would be on my list, but I knew he'd be on yours. That's why I didn't do it. Because I know you love him. He's incredible. He's so good.
I got the Rainbow Singles box set, kind of like the Kiss Casablanca box set.
Yeah.
Fucking. So they have two versions of Since You've Been Gone. They released two different singles on it. I'm like, oh, great. I get that version that's in one of those videos that's a little bit different. He's singing. Nope, it's the same version. I'm like, motherfuckers, I just bought this hoping I'd get that, and I can't find it. So if anybody out there knows, is a big Rainbow fan, knows where I can get that alternative version of Since You've Been Gone, whether it's on some sort of fucking collection or demos or whatever, but I can't find it. And it's driving me nuts. I thought I bought it with the box set. But regardless, Richie Blackmore, number four. Tom, to you.
All right, my number four, well, you already mentioned him, Slash. Love the guy. I love that kind of sloppy, just.
Yes.
He's just his solos, his riffs, and just like his attitude. I mean, you know, should we be rating looks and image, but the fucking look is iconic, fucking legendary.
It adds to it.
It certainly does, right? But I love that kind of style. I mean, look, like I said at my number 10, I love what Yngwie can do. But what Yngwie can do is not what Slash can do. They're two completely different, and I love them both for that reason, you know?
Yeah, and I like the various type. You don't have to like only one style of guitar player.
Right.
Completely different. But Slash, just even thinking right now, Out to Get Me. That sloppy guitar.
That opening riff.
Yes! That's insane. I'm talking about. Now, there's a great guitar duo, him and Izzy. Oh my God. The two of them. Those first three, actually technically four, if you do Lies, between Use Your Illusion 1, 2, Lies, and Appetite, nothing's better.
Izzy is like the unsung hero of Appetite to Destruction.
Fucking great stuff.
Agreed.
So yeah, Slash, I totally see it. Number three, you may have him on your list, and that is obviously going to be there. I figure one of us would have him. That's George Lynch. Those Dokken guitar and the solos. Just Unchain the Night. Think of that opening and then his riffs.
My favorite Dokken song. His
fucking solos. The solo on Sleepless Night, the solo on Heaven Sent, the whole guitar for Kiss of Death is just insane. I like air guitar, Kiss of Death. And you're like,
it's so good. It's so good.
That, like, you're like, how the fuck is he doing that pinch? So he can bend a note and hold it. He's another one of those guys. I remember seeing, I think it was, what's the guy from Jane's Addiction and the guitar?
Barry Farrell. Oh, Dave Navarro.
Yeah.
Dave Navarro.
So he had some like YouTube show. He brings other guitarists on and stuff. And I'll never forget watching because it's something he was talking with George Lynch. I'm like, yeah. Oh, that's an odd combination, like an alternative kind of era guitarist. And George Lynch is considered hair metal.
Yep.
And they were talking. He's like, and after he left or something, Navarro's like, dude, the guy is saying like, oh, you know, like do this. And then he's like, no. I played guitar. I'm considered like this great guitar guy. I can't do what you're telling me to do. Oh, yeah, just do this and that. It's like one of those things like Wayne Gretzky would teach people how to play hockey. Oh, yeah, just close your eyes and between your legs and behind the back. Just hit it off the boards and go right to the guy's stick. Oh, okay, that's all I have to do, huh?
Like I can't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what kind they.
They big like cherry tomato? A small point. Is small what?
Is it what?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, George Lynch, man, he is that Warren DeMartini, just slightly above the fucking bending and the holding of that note. Just gets me every time. Love it.
Nice. All right. My number three, my top three were pretty obvious. Well, for me, at least I should say, okay. my number three, I wish I could put him higher. But this guy goes into my number one ranking for most underrated guitarist of all time. Ooh. Because when you're in a band with the greatest drummer of all time, it's tough to be known as a really great guitarist. And that's Alex Lifeson from Rush. The guy gets absolutely no respect because everybody thinks of Neil Peart for obvious reasons. Yep. Everybody thinks of how handsome Geddy Lee is. So Alex is like, oh yeah, I'm that guy over here that has that incredible riff off of Limelight, or I'm that guy that has an incredible intro to Bastille Day or Anthem, or I'm that guy that can do this, 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 and this. And he just never gets the credit. I've seen Rush in concert a few times. He is incredible. His solos are extremely soulful and melodic. He can rip when he has to. And I'll give him credit. He spoke up in the 80s when Rush was like going heavy on the keyboards. And he was like, hey, what about me? Enough. Where am I? Yeah. So love this guy. Love him.
It's a good, interesting point, Tom. I wonder if a bandmate would be better known if he was the only great musician in the band.
It's true. Yeah.
Right.
Think about it. When you're in Rush, no one knows who you are when you play guitar.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's tough.
Although I do hear stuff about Jimi Hendrix's drummer, like how much attention you're going to get. You're in the band with Hendrix.
Exactly. Right. That's right. Yep.
It's tough. But from what I understand, and I've never heard anybody complain about his guitar playing, but they just, you know, when you throw out names, he's not a name that gets thrown out often. Nope. But just listen to the two albums that I really dove into. I mean, obviously there's fucking immense talent.
And when you go back earlier, before they started introducing the synths and the keyboards, when it was really like a guitar based band, I mean, that's when he was just really incredible. But love Alex Lifeson.
Yeah. The thing about Lifeson reminds me of, and he's not on my list, but it reminds me of David, Gilmour.
Oh, yeah. So, David Gilmour's. If I was a Pink Floyd fan, maybe David Gilmour would be
so
in this list.
There are things that you hear and he does incredible. All this that you're like, holy shit.
Dude, Comfortably Numb is regarded as one of the most ridiculous guitar solos. Go listen to that. Even if you don't like Pink Floyd, just go listen Same to that thing. Solo.
I fucking hated Floyd for years. So I'd be like, oh, they're just a drug band. That's why people like them all. I'm the dead. Music sucks. But it's the image and the stuff.
Yep.
But then when I got into Dark Side of the Moon and I'm listening to the guitar on like a song like Time, and I'm like, you know, mine, awesome. It takes it forever to get to the fucking song, but that's another
Jesus Christ.
Problem.
Yeah, you're right.
But when you're like, this is one of the fucking heaviest songs, and it's not fast or anything. It's just like, and the touch and the tones and the sounds the guitar make is like beautiful. It's amazing. And the solo is incredible. And then you get into stuff that he does on Brain Damage and that little, like, almost like whale-like guitar notes he's hitting. He's obviously talented. I mean, off the charts as well. And I figure, like, Lifeson's a little bit like that. The band and the music kind of make it difficult for him to get the spotlight a little sometimes. But All right, number two for me, Tom. I'm sure he's going to be on your list. I thought he'd be definitely, and you know, we got a whole side cast on him, and that's Jimmy Page and Led Zeppelin.
Well, that's my number two, so let's talk about him.
So Jimmy Page, what are we going to say? You want to talk about the riff from Black Dog or Cashmere, or do you want to get into what I think is one of the greatest fucking songs? And we talked about it on the last episode, Led Zeppelin 3, and that's Bron Ross Stomp, where he can do that on an acoustic guitar, ding, 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 that, and then he can go into Over Hills and Far Away. And then obviously, I mean, I don't care how bored or tired you are of Stairway to Heaven, the solo still, I don't care. I will never turn it off. Turn that up every time. It's so magical. That feeling you get when that solo hits.
Jimmy Page checks off. If it wasn't for my number one, Jimmy Page would easily be number one because he checks off all those boxes. First of all, he's got that aura, that image. Okay.
Guitar God.
Exactly. Like literally he looks like if Hollywood was going to make a movie, be like, oh, I want that guy to be my guitar God. Oh, but he's a real person. Oh, okay.
70s guitar God too. Which makes
he can riff when he has to, like Black Dog. He can blow your brains out with that. He can do stuff like Bron Your Stomp or songs like Thank You, or he can do the melodic, slow, bluesy stuff like Since I've Been Loving You. I mean, the guy does everything and he does it at an A+ level. I mean, there's a reason why he's Jimmy fucking Page.
Dude, we can go down that whole catalog. You can do Nobody's Fault But Mine. Oh.
It's insane.
Or In the Evening.
Oh, I love that song. So
like all that shit.
Yep.
Just never mind the fact that the sounds and everything he puts into his production, his guitar is just, it was revolutionary the way he played the guitar.
Yep.
And it's a different style. And Jimmy Page.
Yep.
Jimmy Page. Number one for me, Tom, is easy. I say it all the time on ARC. I say that he's my favorite guitar player and he was only on two albums. You know, I'm not counting Quiet Riot fucking music. That's Randy Rhoads. Blizzard of Odd is my favorite guitar album of all time. Fuck, I put Mother Earth Revelation number one because on that album, just because of that solo. I find that solo, the way it just takes over at the end of the song, nothing moves me like that. All the way from the acoustic and then to the fucking thrash riff back in the early 80s. It was just insane. And he's got that style, that Ritchie Blackmore Yngwie of classical music that you could put violins and stuff to his guitar. Just go watch the video of him doing, I don't know, that studio clip.
Oh, my God.
And Rudy Sarzo. And he does that solo and he puts his hand right up. Oh, my God. It's fucking insane. And the image of him, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say anything but what a sweetheart of a man he was.
Yep.
This young, good-looking, skinny guy whose guitar probably weighed more than him. And all he cared about was guitar and teaching it and learning it. And just this sweet angel that got taken away and will always be that young image. To me, add that all up, Randy Rhoads is my favorite guitar player. And I didn't even get into the brilliance of Diary of a Madman, which may be even better guitar-wise than Blizzard. But Randy Rhoads is for me.
Mm-hmm. I knew that would be a number one.
Yeah,
my number one. My number one, if you know me, no surprise, it's on our ARC, and his ability to play the guitar gets overshadowed by a lot of other things, including his dancing, the funk, the soul, the R&B, the pop, all that stuff. But in terms of a guitar player, for me, it's Prince. The guy is just a fucking god on multiple levels. His ability to play the guitar gets tremendously forgotten about and sometimes laughed at by certain people. Because what's that?
Like, I'm like, like the guy you're seeing across. Yeah.
That's okay. Because he gets wrapped up in, you know, 1999 and Purple Rain and his dancing and his image. And I get it. But I've seen Prince in concert. And you guys have seen that halftime show for the Super Bowl. The guy is fucking special. The guy was a genius. He was brilliant beyond belief. I read a massive book about the behind the scenes production of the Purple Rain album. And it was the guy was definitely on the spectrum, I think, before the spectrum is even a thing, because his obsession with perfection to the point where it interfered with his life and other people's lives. He's incredible. Not only could he play the guitar, he could literally play every friggin' instrument and write songs. So to me, Prince is I just love the guy.
I don't deny any of his brilliance. I think he's on par, maybe the five great musical geniuses in the rock and roll genre.
Yeah.
Him, Smokey Robinson, a guy that could do fucking everything and write.
Yep.
And by the way, I'm going to write My Girl for another band. I won't even use it for me.
Right,
sing,
right.
Dance and fucking right. Write and everything. Yep. A guy like that, Pete Townsend, who can write, sing, fucking do all the music and write a rock opera.
Good call, with Pete Townsend. Yep.
Brian Wilson, I would say.
Oh, I thought you said Brian May. Brian May's
great, but I wouldn't put him up there. But Brian Wilson, fucking off the charts genius, yep, that got himself to be insane because he's so fucking perfectionist in the studio. The stuff that he did and invent, and the Beatles are fucking like, what the hell is he doing? Falling, they're going back and forth instead of being, surfing safari. All of a sudden they're doing shit Good Vibrations and God Only Knows. So those guys are, to me, Prince is in there. The solo he did in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I know the little background story is the fact that right before that, supposedly he saw someone they named great guitar players and he wasn't even near the list. And so he's like, oh, yeah, well, let me fucking show you guys. And he did that solo in front of all those guitar players to kind of like fucking shove it in their face. Mm-hmm. Now, I will give you that. I think the guy could sit in the fucking in the studio and pull out a whole album. You're like, yeah, but don't you need a drummer? Don't you need a bass? Who's doing this? Who's doing it?
Right.
I'm doing it. I did it.
Yeah, exactly.
Another guy I would put in that list is Stevie Wonder. Could do everything.
Brilliant.
Everything.
Yep.
You know, brilliant people.
Yep.
So regardless, I find those guys to be brilliant. I'm not taking it away. I just think that image and the fact that he's dead holds a lot of weight of his guitar playing, because I haven't heard the song and be like, oh my God, have you heard this solo? I haven't. I didn't see him live in concert. Now, I take it to the Kirk Hammett kind of thing of what you're saying, Tom. I look at him saying, yeah, everybody's playing and you can have this solo. It has nothing to do with the song. Just do a fucking solo and put it over this song. Yeah.
Right.
Kirk, you can do that. But fucking meanwhile, James is going,
James
fucking
right.
came up with the riff, thought of it, this and that. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know enough Prince's discography.
Catalog.
I don't. Yeah. And I haven't seen him live. So you might be 100%. And again, it's what moves you and what you like. When you see a guitar player, what image do you have? I have George Lynch in the 80s in my head. I have Jimmy Page from the 70s. I have Randy Rhoads in those early videos of him and Ozzy and just fucking weighing 90 pounds in his guitars.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are my image. That's what I love about guitar. Now, there's a couple other people I love to name.
Yeah, I have two honorable mentions.
Go ahead, buddy.
So, one of them is Randy Rhoads, obviously.
Yeah.
And the other one, just because he's the fucking riff god, king.
Yeah.
Fucking Tony Iommi.
Yeah. Okay, I can totally see it, dude. Is there another more popular riff than fucking? Actually, two of them: Iron Man and fucking Paranoid.
Paranoid, exactly.
Oh my God! Off the charts.
So those are my two honorable mentions.
I wrote a bunch of them. Now we're not gonna do Kiss ones.
No, go ahead.
So the two Whitesnake ones that come to mind, because I love Whitesnake, especially earlier Whitesnake. Obviously, John Sykes from the last two albums, Whitesnake and Slide It In, those ones. And the guy, Bernie Marsden, who was on all the early Whitesnake albums, those guys are together. And then neither of us mentioned Eddie Van Halen. I think he goes without saying.
Well,
right?
That's why it's almost like saying, I like Oxygen. Like you said, it's putting Eddie Van Halen on your list is like, I mean, now granted, we put Jimmy Page on our list. It's probably the same thing. But yeah, I purposely left
but
him
I'm
off.
I'm not big Van. I love Van Halen, but I'm not, they're not my band.
Me neither.
And
I love them. My son loves them. It's funny. We were just listening to Van Halen earlier tonight. David Roth era of stuff. I mean, I love it, but it's one of those things. It's like, we know he's great. No one needs to tell you that he is. He's Eddie Van Halen.
Like Jimi Hendrix. Oh,
Right.
Eric Clapton, fucking, what's
right.
his name? Jeff.
Exactly.
Mack. All right. So a couple other ones I wanted a name for me that I really like is John Fogerty.
Nice.
He could do fucking anything. Oh, you want to talk about musical genius? Throw him in the mix. Write, sing, produce, yep. do the fucking guitar and do everything. He's another genius. They do a version. It's like an 11-minute or 12-minute version. It's on their great 20 Greatest Hits Chronicle. I forget
Chronicle.
What it's called.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. It's a fucking 10 or 11 minute version of I Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
Rock
yeah.
out
it's,
to that.
Yep.
It is the best little fucking guitar ditty and the drums. Oh my God. It's fucking so great. The other is Elvis's guitar play. I've mentioned him before. James Burton from his band in the 70s. All guitar guys know him. Love James Burton. He was from the 50s. He did the first real guitar solo from Hello, Mary Lou. Famous, all guitar gods love that fucking guy. And Burton was Elvis's band leader and main guitar guy. Have you ever seen those old videos of him, Elvis, recording some of his stuff in the 70s when he came back and he's rocking in the studio doing Little Sister?
Yep.
And then he mashes that up with Get Back and he's in there. That's James Burton just fucking ripping it up. Nice. Band is awesome.
Another guy I had on my this guy actually got cut out of my top 10. I put Duane Allman in his place because I was going between Allman Brothers and Lynyrd Skynyrd. That's Gary Rossington from Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
If you're a Skynyrd fan, fucking Gary Rossington, fucking incredible, incredible. Just wanted to give him a shout out because you don't hear his name thrown around too much, especially with all these other names that we're talking about. But
yeah, but he should be there automatically because that Hotel California and Stairway to Heaven are probably the three greatest guitar that you never turn it off when those solos come up.
That's right.
Never.
Yep.
And you fucking like, oh my God, if I could have invented a guitar solo.
A guitar solo, it would be some one of those.
Dude,
yep.
That shit's insane. Guy doesn't get that much credit these days, Joe Perry.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Fucking it's
true.
The thing that always fascinates me is how big Aerosmith is. When I look and I'm like, Boys in the Attic sold how many fucking albums?
Yep.
And then we're like, all we are is obsessed with Kiss and shit. And we're like, the fuck is Aerosmith sold? How, what?
I think what? Aerosmith. I think Aerosmith is another band where people appreciate Joe Perry, but it's like, oh, Steven Tyler, frontman. It's like all your yeah. you everybody is micro focused on Steven Tyler
because well, he's Chip such away a the Stone.
Oh, that God, fucking song's incredible.
Oh my yeah. God, that riff. It's just all his stuff are fucking fantastic. Yep. The other one, Tom, I had here, same vein, like Keith Richards, not because mm-hmm. he's a fucking, but just the guy came up with some of the greatest riffs of all time. Satisfaction, Start Me Up. I mean, just on those alone yep. and all the other songs. And he wrote half the songs with Mick. So he's got to get some kind of credit. And one off the charts guy was the guys from the Scorpions. I think his name is Matthias Jabs. I think yep. he's the main guy.
Yep.
He's got a big smile on his face. That guy looks like a guitar guy that's having fun.
I've said before with the Scorpions, I just don't like Klaus's vocals. I just don't like his, I don't like his tone, but musically and guitar wise, they're fucking incredible.
Oh, no one like you. It's one of those things. I remember someone saying one time, hey, name an album, a song that you like that starts off with a solo. I'm like, oh, that's easy. It's No One Like You.
Yeah.
Fucking incredible. That Rock You Like a Hurricane solo. All that stuff. The Zoo.
Yeah.
Don't Believe Her. Another guy who's got an amazing touch and way to hold a note and bend and give you that feeling. Oh, he's fucking fantastic.
Another guy that I wanted to mention, just so we can laugh at him, because he's never, ever going to make this list, is CC DeVille.
That's just so you could get that punch.
I had to get that punch in.
I'll be honest with you. He's my favorite of Poison. So, in other words, I would punch him in the face last if I saw Poison. Okay. From the band, he's my least punched guy in the face. He's fucking goof. He's okay.
He's a punching bag. I don't have a problem with it. Whatever.
No, he's so fine. The other one, Tom, I had the last couple ones I had is maybe I'll add them or it won't, was Kurt Cobain, just for the same reason as James Hetfield, because I just fucking love his songs.
Yeah.
They're his riffs, Listen to Breed. Listen how fucking heavy that is.
Yep.
That's his. And say what you want. Smells Like Teen Spirit. That's all him. That's all his riffs. These are riffs that are a fucking, you don't have to. Same thing with Keith Richards. Keith Richards is not going to fucking out Yngwie Malmsteen or George Lynch. But fucking tell George Lynch, would you rather do that or would you rather come up with Satisfaction?
True.
There's a talent in a lot of these things in variety of ways. Jakey Lee is another great one, Tom.
Yep. And speaking of underrated rhythm guitar players.
Yes.
Yes. Everybody talks about Angus.
Yes.
Malcolm Young.
So for me, I was never an Angus, but like I fucking love the AC/DC because of the riffs. And me from too. What I understand, it's always Malcolm.
It's Malcolm.
And I don't know what it, I'm not that big of an AC/DC. Oh no, that one's Angus. Oh no, this one's Malcolm. I always clued as because that's what I'm going off of. And then Angus will come in over it or something like that. Or
poor Malcolm had a look at Angus with his fucking outfit and his head bob and his breakdance. And is like, all right, I'll stand back here like a fucking stoplight.
I'd rather play the guitar all day.
Absolutely.
For 60 years, you're going to be fucking banging your head like an idiot. But I mean, for me, you can't. I don't know. Is there better riffs than AC/DC?
That's a great discussion. You talk about those early AC/DC albums, fucking riff after riff.
A riff that it's not even one of their best songs. Like a Flick of the Switch.
Yep.
I could listen to that song over and over just from that fucking riff.
Yep.
Or If You Want Blood, Highway to Hell.
Yep.
All these fucking songs have these incredible guitar riffs. And that's all the Young Brothers. So, yeah, we've mentioned a bunch. Some are better than others. These are our favorites. They're not just the best. They're what moves us and what do we think of when we think of guitar gods. We hope you guys like this list. Tell us what you think. Who are your favorite?
Please give us your opinion on our list and tell us if we miss somebody, because I can guarantee we miss somebody. So tell us what tickles your fancy with guitar players.
Yeah, and if there's somebody that you don't know and not that familiar, give a listen. See what you think. All right, till next time. Peace out, Girl Scout.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.